I believe that we will see miracles. And I pray that that is what each and every one of you believe as well. I pray that you believe that we will see miracles. And a few weeks ago, we did this thing where I read and we made this song our declaration over our life, over our church's life. And I truly believe that, I believe that we need to do it tonight, or this morning. Can I steal this, Gary? And I want you to close your eyes. And as we read it this morning, I want you to declare this over your life. It says, you said that when we ask, we will receive. God, we take you at your word. So, Lord, we're asking. God, you said your people will do greater things. And we do believe it. We believe. Amen? We will see miracles. We will see giants fall. We'll walk on water. Because this is your kingdom come, God. This is your battle won. Because this is revival. We will see miracles. Because he said nothing is impossible. So I'm not backing down, and I hope you're not backing down either. He said we're going to do greater things. It says in his word, we've read it time and time again, that we will do greater things. And we believe it. I believe it. I pray that you believe as well. And the bridge of this song is just so amazing. And as you sit in your house this morning, and as you're worshiping and as you're praising, and as we're spending time focusing on God and his goodness, and as we celebrate his goodness, we can know that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord this morning, like the waters cover the sea. The whole earth filled with his glory. And the bridge, the second part of this bridge says, we will see your glory. We will see your glory. We will see it here. Do you believe you're going to see his glory here this morning? Where you're at, in this community, in your home, in your family? Do you believe? We need to start praying like we believe. We need to start acting like we believe instead of acting like we're defeated. We're not called to be defeated. We're victors. We're not victims. It's done. We've won. The battle's won. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you that that battle is won. And as we're going to talk about this morning, we're here for celebration. We just declared your victory over our lives. We've just declared your goodness. We declared we will see miracles over our lives, over health. Father, right now we thank you that COVID-19 has nothing on us. Father, you have the victory. That debt has nothing on us because, Father, you have the victory. That death has nothing on us because, Father, you have the victory. So, God, we give you the victory. We give you all praise and glory. We celebrate. We sing with joy. We get undignified when we sing your praise, Father. We love you and we thank you. So this morning, wherever we're at, God, I pray you would stir us, excite us, rejuvenate us, that our praise and our celebration would just be wild for you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't even have to say you can be seated because you're already probably seated. Maybe you're standing. Thank you guys for leading us this morning. Dave, don't fall off that bench. It was close, wasn't it? Guys, we're wrapping up the series Miserably Saved, and what better way to end something miserable than a celebration? A party, right? And I love parties. Stacy, those of you that don't know, most of you know, this past year I turned 40. The big 4-0. And it was a tough time for me because I wasn't ready to be 40. Truthfully, I wasn't ready. But I knew it was there. It was time. And 40 is just a number. It's not like it's a, oh, I'm 40, here we go, now it's the downward cycle. It's just a number, right? Gary, you're supposed to say amen there. It's just a number. And it's nothing, but it was just a whole, I had a big plan of a celebration, and we had soccer, and none of my stuff happened. I couldn't even go to the restaurant I wanted to go to when we were in Saskatoon, and I got home, and I didn't even get a cake. I didn't even get a cake. And then we had a potluck the next day, and Stacy surprised me with a cake here at the potluck. So it was good. It was great. I got some cake. But I was, leading up to that, it was like, oh. But that's not the type of celebration. We know at this celebration, there's victory, and that we need to sing praise, right? So, miserably saved. And I've asked this question time and time again over the past 3 weeks, and I'm going to ask it again. How many of you can say that you are living your life as if you are miserably saved, or are you living your life like you're gloriously saved? Or maybe you're somebody here that's just saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. And you'll find out more as we go through this morning's message. So this is a series where we're focusing on the four cups of the Seder Supper. And the first week we did talk about that gloriously saved. And then the second week we talked about getting sin out of our life. And the third week we talked, last week we talked about redemption and that we were created for purpose. Amen? And this week is the final week and we're talking about celebration and joy. And you know me, I'm a joyful, I'm a celebratory guy. I get excited. Now, this has been kind of the key theme for our entire week. The entire series. Salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting point. That's the main thought that we've talked about. When we become followers of Jesus, when we enter into relationship with Jesus, and we become Christians, that's not the end. That's just the starting point. There are so much more in life that we can experience. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the fact that this is about joy and celebration. That's what we're doing here. And Psalm 34, 1-5 is kind of one of these key points for this whole message. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He shall continually be in my mouth. My life makes its boasts in the Lord. Let the humble be afflicted, hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought, inquired of the Lord, and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Thank you, Gary. And then they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never blush or shame or be confused. Wow. That's the first thing I can say about that. Wow. And I shared this, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I shared this entire chapter with you because it was one of those wow moments because I was just like, he needs to continually be in our mouth. We need to continually sing his praise. And I don't know about you, but I've heard far too often from people, and not just non-believers, but Christians as well, about how scared they are, about how things go wrong, about how this is happening to them, or, you know, they're scared for COVID or whatever it might be. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to sing his praise from our mouth at every single second. That's what we live for, to sing his praise. And that's why that song, I wanted that to be our declaration. Because I think that's something so important. Because when we sing his praise is sung all over, everywhere we go. And the glory of the Lord goes with us when we go everywhere because we're singing his praise. And I think that's amazing. And I think that's something we take for granted. So singing his praise. So the first point I have is this. And these are sub-points. It's kind of a, you're going to have to follow me on this. If you don't follow me, come talk to me and I'll help you follow me. So the first point is this, to cross the sea. So the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And then what did they do after they crossed the Red Sea? Does anybody know? Do you guys know? They sang his praise. They gathered together and sang his praise. And when the children crossed the sea, it wasn't just a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You did it. No! They sang his praise with every part of them. A few weeks ago, I remember Mel talked about in church 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, that we need to step out and we need to sing his praise. And that's what we need to do. We need to step out and sing his praise, but not just a thank you, Jesus. It's a celebration. And the word that's actually used for this type of celebration comes from the Hebrew word halal. And the Hebrew word for hilarious celebration. It's a big, it's a loud, it's a celebratory praise. It's the type of thing you would do at a Rider game when you paint your face green and you get your horn and you're making all the noise. Except even more. And if you've ever seen me at a Rider game, I go pretty crazy. And if it's even more than that, come on, right? But I love the Psalms. I love Psalms because for me, Psalms really speaks to how we should celebrate. It talks about some of the stuff that goes on and the negativity in David's life, but it talks about the celebration and how good our God is. He gives us good examples of celebration. He gives us it's good pictures of how good God is. And it gives us examples of how we can respond in life. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. He is good. How can you not celebrate the good God that he is? Right? Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. And like we've talked and like Nathan prayed even over Psalm 91 over us, and we talked about how we're in that safe place. We find refuge in him, don't we? Amen. The second point is God's goodness, and we just talked about that. But God's goodness, these huge moments of celebratory praise are always linked to God's goodness. See, the thing is, in each and every day of our lives, we can experience God's goodness, right? Right? Yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm really interactive with you tonight because nobody's here. Nobody's here to hang out with me. So you guys get it all. Psalm 134, 1 and 2 says what? Behold, bless affectionately and grateful praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, singers who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in holiness and to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Affectionately and gratefully praise him. He is a good God. And this morning I pray that as you're worshiping at home and as you're listening to me, that you are understanding how good our God is. He deserves every bit of praise that we give him. He doesn't bring bad things. I don't know how many times I've heard, well, I guess God brought this on us. I guess we brought this judgment from God on us. God doesn't do this. God is not a God of sickness and disease. He is a God of wholeness and health. He wants us to be whole. Oh boy. Okay, keep up with me this morning, guys. I know it's early. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience, when I'm obedient, it positions me to realize all that God has for me. If I'm not obedient and I'm not walking according to his promises and his scriptures, I can't realize it all. I don't get to live it. I don't get to experience it. I need to be obedient to his word. And that means focusing on him and walking in the promises that he has for me and not walking away from his will. He's got good things for us. And when we walk towards the stuff that's not good, he's trying to constantly call us back. He wants us to walk in his good path because it's amazing. Luke 11, 28 says, but he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it and practice it. When we hear the word of God, when we're obedient to it, when we practice it, we're blessed. And number four, his goodness. His goodness has no dependence on my goodness. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to listen to this. If you got something in your eyes, I'm not touching my eyes, I'm pointing at my ears. If you got some sleep in your eyes this morning, wipe that sleep away and listen. His goodness is not dependent on my goodness. See, he's always good. He is always good, he's always there, and he always wants to pour his blessings on you. It doesn't depend on how good I am. I need him. I need Jesus. People have walked around for years saying, well, we're basically good. No, we need him to be good. But his goodness doesn't depend on our goodness. He is always good. John 10:10 and 11 says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it what? Till it overflows, right? Abundance and overflowing, that's who our God is. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for his sheep. And then if we read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchase, special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitted, but now you are pitted or pitied and have received mercy. I'm sorry. And then we can read Psalm 63, 1 to 7. It says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. You, my inner self, my inner self thirsts for you. Maybe I need to wipe the sleep out of my eyes this morning. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you. In a dry and weary land where no water is, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, so I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name, singing praises. That's what we're talking about here. My whole being shall be satisfied as the marrow in fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. These are all talking about us celebrating him, us looking upon him, us singing praise to him, and his goodness. None of it has to do with with us. It all has to do with him. So we have some priorities then we need to look at, we need to talk about this morning. And I'm going to see, oh no, that's not the next slide, I should have put that on there. We have three priorities, and if you're writing them down, great, write them down. If you're not writing them down, grab a pen and write them down. Three priorities. The first is, we need a consistent, fresh revelation of God's goodness. We need to spend time with him. We need to spend time in his word, understanding the promises that he has for us, building our faith, and focusing on how good our God is. The second thing, the second priority we need to do, is we need to pray prayers, fueled by God's goodness, and not limited by our perspective. Because our perspective is very poor, but his goodness is limitless. His goodness is great. He has so much goodness for us. And our prayers need to be ones that are based on his promises, which are found in Scripture. There's so many promises. I should have wrote it down. I'm sorry. I'll put it on the link at the end of this service. How many promises are in Scripture? Mary, do you remember? Oh, There's a lot. There's so many promises in His Word, and we can pray for those. We can pray those in, and those are the basis of what we can do. I'm just talking now because it's so amazing. The third point, are you agreeing that I'm just talking? Are you saying, yep, I'm just bugging you. The third thing is we need to talk more about God's goodness, don't we? We need to talk about His goodness. Stop talking about the weather. Stop talking about the government. Talk about His goodness. He doesn't even need to make election promises, and He just does good. He's a good God. So start telling people about how good our God is. He's a good God. And He's got good things for us. So now, as we move forward, there's some questions that we maybe need to evaluate in our lives. We need to ask. But let's read some scripture first. And we're going to read Ephesians 3, 6 to 19. It's a lot of scripture. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews. That's what I was just talking about earlier. We now have the promises of the Jews, because even though we're Gentiles. Those are for us. We're members of the same body, joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise of God through their acceptance of the glad tidings of the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which is bestowed on me by the exercise, the working of all the effectiveness of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human could have searched out. Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what the plan regarding the Gentiles. Boy, I should have put context in this morning. And providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now, the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and power in heavenly places. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal timeless purpose which He realized and carried into effect in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. That's a big one, isn't it? So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I am suffering on your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is honor to you. For this reason, seeking the greatness of this plan of by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself and dwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, and abide permanently in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That's why we live a life of love in this church. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. That you may really come to know, practically through experience to yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. May you have richness, measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. That's a lot of reading. Read it on your own, Ephesians 3, 6 to 19, up to that point. That's a lot, and I apologize. That's a lot of reading to do. this morning in your home. But do it. I encourage you, because it really hits the heart of the matter. Now, these next two verses I'm about to read, and this is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is where we're really trying to drive home to, though. It says, now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose, that's a capital H, it's God's purpose, and to do superabundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. That should get an amen. Right? Way more than we could ever imagine, way more than we could ever think, way more than we can ever comprehend. He will do it and can do it and wants to do it. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. So, the question is, if we really believe the truth of Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, we need to ask some right questions, right? Some of these right questions, and I'm not answering these for you. These are questions to think on, rest on, spend time on. This morning, this afternoon, after you have your whatever you're making for lunch, roast beef or whatever it might be. Roast beef would be good. Maybe Stacy's making roast beef. Anyways, I'm getting distracted. It's because I don't eat breakfast these mornings, you guys know that. First question, what should be our personal spiritual goals? What should our personal spiritual goals be? I pray it's to spend time with him, to get to know him, to grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of who God is and how good our God is, to celebrate his name and to celebrate the goodness of God. I'm telling you what your answers are. I don't want to do that. Sorry. The second question, what should our trust level be? Our trust level should be, you know, maybe you don't remember. Maybe if you have kids, or maybe if you were a kid at one time, which I think that probably most of us, we were a kid. But maybe you remember that moment where your crazy dad might have been throwing you in the air. Throwing in the air. And you catch him. Or you do this with your kids, right? And what do? You catch him. And do they trust you? They know that you got them, don't they? Stacy gives me heck when I do that. But the kids know that I got them. Because he's got me, right? And that's where my trust level needs to be with God, is the same as my kids' trust level is in me. The third question is, what should our desire to share God's love be? What should our desire to share God's love be? Because what is the sense of doing this morning or any other Sunday morning if we're not sharing God's love? If we're not sharing God's love with our community, if we're not doing things for our community, if we're not telling them about the love of Christ, we're just a country club or a hangout or the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes from the Flintstones. Except I don't have a cool hat and I'm not the Grand Poobah. Guys, this is what we exist for. I got to make sure I don't knock that down. That's what we exist for, to show God's love. I pray that question should be, I want to show God's love in all things. And the next question really ties next to it. And it's, what should our heart for the world be? See, we need to love the world, but our heart needs to be for them. Our heart needs to be for them. The people that don't attend church at Rose Town Community Church, our heart is for you. We love you. We want you to know the love of Christ. Our heart is that you would know Jesus in a new and real way. If you know Jesus, we pray that you would know Jesus in a greater way. That's our heart. Our heart should be for anybody outside of these walls as much as it is for the people in this room or in these walls. It needs to be equal. We need to have a heart for the lost. We need to have a heart for people that don't attend Rose Town Community Church. We should want them to know God. And I think this is my last question is, what should our faith level be? Because our faith level, based on scripture there, should be huge. And it should be growing, because as he pours on these blessings and these immeasurable things that are super abundant and all this stuff, it should keep growing, shouldn't it? Our faith can't stay small. It needs to grow. When we have all these promises in scripture that are for us, our faith should be growing as we are experiencing this. We shouldn't sit back and just say, well, we'll see what happens. We know. Because this verse right here, where am I? Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power, God's power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above, far over, and beyond all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers. Infinitely, beyond our wildest prayers. Our desires, beyond our desires, beyond our thoughts, beyond our hopes, beyond our dreams. He's got so much more. So much more. But do we trust him? Have we allowed our faith to grow? Have we spent time getting to know him and understanding what he says in his word? Do we trust that what he says in his word is true? That's the question. I pray it is. I pray that if we fall into one of these categories, that maybe we're not a part of Rosetown Community Church, and maybe we're not part of church, and we're part of that, outside of that, knowing God's love or understanding God's love, I pray that you would call the church and take some time to just ask, what does it mean? What does God's love mean for me? What does God's love do for me? How does that work? What happens there? I pray that you will take the time to call the church, because I'll gladly share it with you. This morning, if you're at home and you don't know who Jesus is, we're going to take a minute here and we're going to pray and give you an opportunity to get to know Jesus. And then we're just going to pray as a whole. And then Mary and the team are going to lead us in a song. But I'm going to ask right now that you guys all bow your heads and we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask the music team here that's with me this morning that we take a moment. And would you guys repeat after me, just because it makes the people at home more comfortable. Repeat after me. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to cross the line and become a believer in him and experience the life and goodness that he has for us as believers, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus for me. Jesus, forgive my sins. Make me right. Make my life right. Bring me into relationship with you and your Father. God, soften my heart for you. And help me understand you. Bring people around me that will walk me closer to you each day. Thank you again, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we pray our closing prayer, or before the music team sings, I'm going to ask, if you prayed that prayer, if you want to talk more before you pray that prayer, call me at the church, email me. You're on Facebook, just send me a message. The church phone number is 306-882-2453. Take the opportunity. Know his blessings. Know his goodness. He loves you. And we love you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for opportunities to gather. Thank you that you do so much for us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that as we walk in your ways, as we live our life for you, that you want to bless us super abundantly, far over and above all that we could dare ask or think of. Thank you that you can blow us away each day with your goodness. Thank you that we, as we walk in your ways, we grow closer to you. Father, be with us the rest of this day, the rest of this morning. Be with us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mary and the team, would you guys lead us again?
Faithful, and all my of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
God, we're just so grateful and thankful for your goodness to us. We just acknowledge today that you are not the author of sickness and disease and brokenness, but you're the answer to it. And I just pray that each person that hears this message today would feel you speaking into their lives, and that they would see the goodness that you have for them. I thank you that what you want for us is exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ever ask or imagine. And I just pray that each one would build and grow their faith to see that come to pass in their lives.